Sitting up. This is going to be complex partial changes involving commercial properties. This is John Noggins, a special appraiser, and also, on a side note, major of the city of Huntington Park. Lordship.
Lordship, thank you. Hi, no, it's actually Vice Mayor, and it's not the mayor of Vice, as many people think. I don't like going out to those criminal sites, but as a political figure, you do have an interesting array of things that you do. Now, I think we're loading my presentation on here, but how many visitors from Northern California? Wonderful. What about the Central Valley? Hey, thanks for coming on board. San Diego? Okay. What did I miss? Oh, LA County. I see a lot of faces from LA County. I think I see the majority of LA County. Well, I've been a real property appraiser in Los Angeles County for about 26 years now. I started off as a student worker, and I've been scared to go out to the real world. And the reason for that is oftentimes people say, you can't be a bureaucrat, you can't stay there and not make any money. Well, you know what? It's better to make the little that we do make and have a permanent job. Out in the market right now, appraisers are in high demand, but the price that they're being given in terms of an appraisal is very small. The banks usually charge $750 and they give $200 to the appraiser, unless, of course, it's a major project. And major projects that I've worked on are the Grove, Century City. I've done the skyscrapers in downtown Los Angeles. And for those of you that are visiting, we definitely have a lot of things in Southern California. No, you have Knott's Berry Farm close by and a couple of other things that you can go, in fact, and visit. But we definitely have beautiful things, and you're going to see a couple of them in our slideshow. Alrighty, let's go ahead and get started. I know that I'm the only thing that's stopping between you and your cookie break, so I know I've got to be quiet in less than 30 minutes or so, so that way you can get out there. I think when we were asked in major properties to go ahead and give an overview of some of the projects that we've worked on and the complexities that they involve is what the emphasis has been. And I think really the title of this should have been Working Together Works, and how important you all are in working with the appraisers to know exactly what we need done and how we can get it done. And yet, at the same time, you bringing to our attention the legal descriptions are not matching. We can see that sometimes physically when we go out there and visit the subject sites, when the anchor tenants, when the target is crossing over parcel lines, we see that physically, and then when we go back to you and say, hey, that map is wrong, you educate us in terms of saying, well, according to the legal description, this is exactly how it should be. So commercial properties in Los Angeles County, they are under the Real Property Division, and we have a specialty unit within commercial properties. And we have possessory interest, Region 22, commercial, industrial, special properties, and the cost appraisals. The next slide will show you that possessory interest is a property that is owned by a government entity, usually those that are denoted in our county by 900 parcels, something that is excluded from taxation. Los Angeles International Airport is actually owned by the City of Los Angeles, but it is leased out and or rented to the aircraft providers. Southwest, Delta, Continental, all of the providers are there on leased land to them. So that is what possessory interest is. Another one is the Queen Mary. Although it is docked in water is considered land. And there were many court cases that went ahead and said, well, you know what, if you're valuing into infinity, into the sky, as well as the center of the earth, part of the center of the earth includes the land, so we're going to consider the water to be a portion of that. This is the Queen Mary, which is actually a hotel right now, and it's docked in the city of Long Beach. Commercial industrial, the skyscrapers. These, of course, through the various years, they look more cylindrical and boxes, but they do have jogs and cutouts that you have all helped us with isometric views as of late. Century City is another one of our downtowns in Southern California. Next. Special properties, Hollywood Park, the casinos, we have landfills, hospitals, cemeteries, shopping centers, golf courses, and this region is basically the catch-all. Universal Studios is part of that special property component, as are all the hotels in Los Angeles. The final major property is the natural resources, and how they value the petroleum that's underground is an incredible wonder. They bounced signals, and I don't know how they can say there's still a billion barrels of oil, but they do, and we have yearly fights over this. The isometric view that you have now provided to us has been very important to us. I know that you all know what that is, but to us in major properties and or the real property division, it's new, and it's a new concept where we have never seen other than just the physical lot map. Now we're able to see the dimensions that are being cut out for the various portions. One thing that is not growing is land. You can't water land and it expands. That's not how it's working here. Although I think they've been watering some of our mountains that were recently in fires and they're expanding elsewhere. The reality with this is that we are now able to get a perspective from every single level of what the project is. And on the mixed-use projects, this has been incredibly important to us as appraisers. So the isometric view is a two-dimensional drawing which gives a three-dimensional dimensional effect. It's become a complete complex issue with the developers. Sometimes they believe that their legal department is drawing up a map. They give it to us and we will say you're under the street that belongs to the city, you can't be there, or you're into your neighbor's parcel, why is this discrepancy existing? Mixed-use projects have been the most that have benefited from the isometric view. The Walt Disney Concert Hall is in fact a concert hall that was built in downtown Los Angeles. How many people have seen this? They've never seen it? Well, we see it every day, but it's so expensive to get in there, I haven't been able to get in yet. One of these days, maybe if we get a pay raise. Not likely to happen. It has an incredible, as you saw the front, array of different sections that are very complex and was actually a feat in itself in getting the architectural drawings and renderings from the developer. This is the seating arrangement that it has, and it's basically located in downtown Los Angeles on Grand and First Street. Construction cost was $240 million. Original construction cost was $60 million, but they held it for 10 years and it grew to a cost of $240 million. It finally opened in 2003 with a generous donation, of course, from the Walt Disney family. They originally gave the entire amount of money for the $60 million construction, but their stocks kept going up and down, and when they finally came back and said, gee, it grew to 240, they went to other sponsors. It's a Frank Gehry design. He is a famed architect throughout the world, so we are now fortunate in Southern California to have a famed architect's work in Southern California. The acoustics were a complete big deal. Why? Because the acoustics inside are now considered state-of-the-art. Across the street is the Music Center, and the Music Center there is known to have poor acoustic system. So you're hearing opera, you're hearing the Philharmonics, and you're not hearing a good presentation of the actual music. Now you'll be able to hear a good presentation. It is the home of the Los Angeles Philharmonics, and it's 2,265 seats. So here is the map of where the Walt Disney Concert Hall sits. We have the neighboring parcels with a small street, General Thaddeus Way. I can't pronounce that last one, so for the next slide. And I'll show you that the expansion into the air has become so important that floor area ratios. Have you heard of floor area ratios? Okay, that's a term that we in major properties and real estate up and down the state use, and it's basically the airspace. They will give you a 6-to-1 floor area ratio in downtown Los Angeles, which means that for every square foot that you have on the property, you can build up to 6 times that amount. So what they did here is they actually kept a prescribed prescription in terms of what the airspace is in that particular location. Why? Because they're going to sell the excess airspace so that the buildings that are currently 6-to-1 can go up a maximum of 13-to-1. And that, of course, provides economies of scale to these developers that want to build the tallest buildings west of the Mississippi. And the County of Los Angeles, which owns the airspace at their 900 parcels, said, listen, we don't have any money. We have a limited resources in the land that we own. What about parceling out the airspace and selling the excess? That way we adhere to the 6-to-1 rule and any excess we go ahead and sell. In the Walt Disney Concert Hall scenario, they actually had a 2.5-to-1 area ratio, and so now they have additional air rights that they could sell off to developers. Another important view, and one of the things that I wanted to tell you is that we've included some of these slides. We know that you can't see them, but just to show you how important it's been for us, we've given you an extra handout, a side handout that you can refer to a little bit later on. And the presentation will also be available to you if you wanted to. Who's the secretary of the organization?
It's not in right now, but we have our information officer.
Your information officer will get a copy of this, and if you want it, you can definitely get it from your information officer. But once again, how important has been the isometric view to us? Absolutely paramount. What happens is we get the diagrams, we look at the diagrams that are given to us by the owners, we look at what has been recorded, and when we are physically out there walking the property and looking at the physical completed project, we can see, in fact, all the various jogs that they should have level by level and where they should be. And we go out there with measuring wheels and we actually walk these. So when you provide us as appraisers these isometric views, you're actually assisting us in being able to give the full, complete valuation of what we should be valuing. Not only is it important for the developers portion, but also for the city's portion. This happens to be a hotel in the city of Beverly Hills. It is the corner of the triangle, the Golden Triangle in Beverly Hills is what contains the most expensive piece of real estate in Southern California. It is where Rodeo Drive is. And what we have here is the hotel, a premier hotel that was built with condominiums, hotel, as well as retail, a park, a parking structure that is shared by the hotel and partly owned by the hotel and partly owned by the city of Beverly Hills. Since it's owned by the city of Beverly Hills went under the sidewalk and into the street to add extra parking for the people that are coming to visit. Daily rates in Beverly Hills are anywhere from $18 to $33 just to park and visit for a day. The city has subsidized that with free parking. It's still currently free because if you make a purchase in Beverly Hills, it goes towards their ability to provide the free parking. Of course, free parking is one of the reasons we go to malls. They believe that their Rodeo Drive is a mall, and that's why they've added additional parking in some of these projects that have come online. Okay, what potential problems have we in major property discovered? We've seen a couple of them as of late in some of these complex developments, especially the mixed use. And I'll go one at a time. We've had ground leases that have been reported without the commencement dates. Ground leases that have been unreported. The parties know that they exist, but they have not reported them. Why they haven't reported them, we hope, is not to defraud government. because we go out there and we see that there's a physical structure there. So we remind them, hey, you have to record these documents so that we can actually create the parcels that will ultimately be taxed. The legal descriptions cross parcel lines, and this has been very important for us to make sure that when we read the legal descriptions with you and Mapping Services, we agree in terms of where the location should be. And of course, you're the experts there. We know when it's crossing another parcel. With your map, we're able to go out there and we're able to look at the physical department store and say, hey, this doesn't look right. The separation is not appropriately measured. And we go with our measuring wheel and we say the target and the Neiman Marcus are too close. What's wrong with this picture? So we go back to our Mapping Services and say, I think you're wrong because some of the parcel lines are crossing with buildings. The new construction partially built on adjacent owner pads, and if you are an owner of a department store, or if you are an owner of your own property, you don't want your neighbor building on your lot because guess what? We're going to tax it on your property, so you're going to have issues with that. And eminent domain issues. Oftentimes, some of the cities believe that we pick up everything just because they've gone forward with the project. We don't go to every city council meeting to know what the community redevelopment agencies are doing. It's important for us to dialogue with the community redevelopment agencies. And one of the things that we've done in Los Angeles County is we visit the community redevelopment agencies. We believe it's our responsibility as the county, especially since we are contracted by those cities to do their appraisal work and inherently doing their mapping work. We believe that we need to be there as a partner with them. Oftentimes they say, we can't give you that information because that's privileged information for government only. We are government and we are your government. Without that information, sometimes we're not going to know what's happening. So the eminent domain issues that have been brought forward have been a problem also. Phantom agreements and land swaps have been other issues where you verbally say, okay, hey, listen, you go ahead and take this 5,000 square feet of land and I'll just go ahead and use my parking over here. Do we agree on that? The handshake is done, it's done. Guess what? That doesn't work if you're trying to sell. If you're trying to sell something and you say, in 2009 on May 5th, we had a cup of coffee at the local Starbucks and agreed via a handshake to go ahead and do this swap. Well, you know what? Down the road, when you're perfecting title, and we work closely with title officers, it's not going to work to have these types of phantom agreements. So the next slide will show you one of the problem properties that we have. Topanga Mall is in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles County, and all of those problems that I previously mentioned, all of those problems existed on this. And they had a tax agent, which are people that represent the owners, come to us and say, what is wrong with the assessor's office? Why are you wrong in valuing the property? Why are you too high? Why can't you get the maps correct? What is it that your department is doing wrong? So we're made out to be the bandits. We're made out to be the wrongdoers, when in fact, it was their inability to properly record and properly denote what the effects of their construction is. So when did this all start? This all started when the owner, Westfields, who happens to be a major shopping center developer and owner in the, I'm going to say the Earth as we know it, because they're an Australian company and they are the largest landlord in North America for shopping centers. They come in and they buy shopping centers and they reposition them. What do they mean by repositioning? If a shopping center, and I'm sure you've all gone to a shopping mall that looks a little old, it needs to be refaced, it needs to be possibly brought up to date with not only cosmetic but with new stores that are no longer there. So they come in and they go ahead and do new tenants, new anchors. So what we have here is this particular shopping center brought on board new anchors in Target, which was never there. Macy's had always been there. It was originally here in Southern California, known as the Broadway Department Store, and there was a merger. But Nordstrom's had not been there, so the new tenants here had been Target and Nordstrom's. Macy's and Sears had always existed at this particular location. The merger here is not where Kmart bought out Sears or the Broadway Department Store was bought out by Macy's, but the merger here was where they actually crossed lines inappropriately. So what we have here are unannounced mergers that we discovered in the particular shopping center. So the mall had the idea of expanding it. They brought the two new tenants on board. Then they started the new construction with the two new department stores. Target and Nordstrom's, as I previously mentioned, were the new department stores. The existing tenants were the Macy's and the Sears. So of course, the Macy's and the Sears, they have old base values. And base values are very important in the state of California. As you know, under Proposition 13, we are all protected with our base values. So the lower the base value, the better it is for us. Not only for us, but also the department stores. So they want to preserve their low base values. Let Target and Nordstrom's pay on the higher amount. Don't cross their values into our values, which happened to be the problem here. Okay. So the construction on parcels should have occurred on parcel 19 and 22, which was owned by Westfields. It did not occur on parcel 19 and 22. The Target ground lease included a portion of parcel 21, which is a part of the Macy's. Macy's was not too happy about that. Nordstrom's actually built half of their improvement on parcel 23, which was owned by Sears. So imagine getting a bill of $15 million, which is about $200,000 in Los Angeles County on your bill. Well, we discovered that by enrolling the values that we wanted, we were going to create a nightmare. And we have something called the third floor. The third floor is something that we all hide from. Now, I mean no disrespect to my family that works in Los Angeles County, because the third floor is where our mapping services is. So we don't hide from our mapping services, but we hide from Mr. Auerbach, the boss. And we usually don't like to be called by the third floor to say, what did you do to Westfields? What did you do to Macy's? So we didn't want to have a political nightmare brought forward because of valuations, although we can legally, the way they had reported, add value to those parcels. We were stuck with the dilemma because we have 4 years to pick up escapes before they are not billed. And we wanted to make sure that we have the agreements in place that if we are not going to add any value, you realize that we are going to be able to add that value in subsequent years, even if we don't get your problem corrected in time. And we're working with you on this problem. So, Westfields claim to have made land swaps and reported them with Macy's. We could not find them. They could not find them. How? What do you mean you did a land swap? Where is your documentation? Someone had to have the documentation. So we're not saying that Westfields lied to us, because we know that they would never lie to us. But maybe, and of course in saying that they didn't lie to us, they implied that Macy's and Sears were liars too. Well, no one lies to the assessor's office. That just doesn't happen. What we have here is a miscommunication. Maybe the clerk misfiled that particular document. So it's somewhere. We're sure it's somewhere, but it just was never recorded. That's why you always want to have the things recorded against the property. That way there is no discrepancy. So they couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. What do we have to do? Our mapping services department said, appraisers, we're not going to be able to work this. You have issues, we have issues. Can we get everybody and have a meeting of the minds? it became very apparent that without the assistance of our mapping services, we're not going to be able to do this. And this is exactly what we did. We had a meeting of all parties affected so that we can come up with a solution. What was the solution when there should have been swaps that were not recorded? What was the solution when there should have been gentleman agreements that should have been documented? Well, we said, you need to perfect what your intentions were. What the lease commencement dates should have been, because the lease commencement dates starts when we can actually physically start the parcel, create that parcel for the long-term hold that they have. And the way we did this was by creating interim parcels to address the ultimate final mapping that we needed to happen. This problem started in 2005, and it is just now getting resolved in 2009. We have not yet enrolled all of the new construction, but they know it's coming, and we've also worked with the auditor and the tax collector to let them know that it's going to be an issue that they're going to pay. And we've got gentleman agreements that, although we shook hands, we had them sign, just in case they forgot or misplaced that document. Once again, working with our mapping services was the most important thing that we could have done. We brought all the meetings of the minds together. And it's, as I said, this probably should have been titled Working Together Works. If you, in your respective counties, are not currently working with your appraisers, it's probably the time to get that cookie break and go and visit with them, because you really need to. Once again, the incorrect years would have created a negative without being taxed, and we wanted to get that money. Here we have the Nordstrom's. That was ultimately, here's the Sears parcel. As you can see, this part here is Nordstrom's. What's it doing in Sears? Get out of my lot. Get out of my parcel. What are you doing, Nordstrom's? The next one had this little sliver. This little sliver of Target. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just a little sliver. How'd you like it if your neighbor put 10 feet on your property? You probably have issues. Well, Macy's, which was here, said, listen, I don't care what you're doing, Westfields. I want the Target there because you promised additional anchor stores so that we could get more volume. What do they mean by that? We, in appraisal terminology, look to see how many people are going to malls. Why? Because it provides additional revenues. Oh, I'm going to go to the Target. Hey, while I'm there, let's run over to Macy's. I need a pair of jeans. Or you know what? Sears is there. We need a new lawnmower, a new washer and dryer. Nordstrom's is there. I got to buy my boss a gift because boss's day is coming up. Something like that. Next one. So the only thing they got kind of right was the Neiman Marcus. That they built within their own parcel. So that was a goodie. We thought it was kind of interesting because we rarely see Nordstrom's, Neiman Marcus, and a Macy's with a Target. It was the first concept type to do this, and it's actually worked very, very successfully. And now they have a Tiffany's that just opened up. And for some reason, the Tiffany's is not next to the Target. It's over here near the Go figure. But what they did is, this was a new concept for us as appraisers to look at the demographics of the people that they thought would be shopping in this area for the upper end. And if you wanted the Target, well, you just go to the Target. What the heck? So it was an interesting concept that was new to us. So here is part of our interim map. Once again, working with mapping services, we had to go ahead and cut out. This was originally all part of Sears. We had to go ahead and cut out a little bit of that section. We had to come with Macy's and say, okay, you're going to have to give up a portion. They're actually going to swap other land that Westfields has. They said it was a gentleman's agreement. We're going to agree that they had the writings somewhere and they signed it. And the interim map led to the 12th map, which was, I believe, the final map, where it finally was all able to come to fruition. Over a four-year period, 13 maps. We're hoping 13 is not unlucky. We're hoping that it is very lucky and we don't have to deal with this problem again. Now, we as appraisers have solved the issue of the mapping and the parcels crossing lines so that Sears does not get mad when we add value for the Nordstrom's and that Macy's does not get mad when we add value for the Target, because we're adding value and they're disagreeing. Remember, the shopping center opened in 2006. What was 2006? The height of the real estate market. The height of the current trend in the real estate market. So although we may be talking about a reduction for the ensuing years, we're looking to add an incredible amount of money for the base year. And what do we want to protect? The base year. As appraisers, as assessors, what we do is we assess the value. And of course, $30 million for the Target versus today's value of $18 million preserved on a Proposition 13 basis is very important. We'll give them their Prop 8, which is a reduction, a momentary reduction, but we will monitor that year by year so that we can go ahead and start increasing it when the market gets a little bit better. And here's how it lays out. Next one. There's the Sears. There's the new Nordstrom's. Oh, something to note on the Nordstrom's. They feel that they have zero value. And they're actually fighting us that they, by saying that we're picking up the inline stores that rent for $8 to $10 a square foot. When you go into the Fredericks of Hollywood, when you go visit Mrs. Fields, Mrs. C's, all of those people pay anywhere from $5 to $10 triple net in the mall. They're saying they're only able to get those tenants because Nordstrom's is here. So we should be valued at zero because it's a benefit to them. Oh, and you think you guys scratch your heads, right? Okay, here's the new Neiman Marcus and the Macy's. So further problems exist. That was Topanga. Now we're moving into the San Gabriel Valley. There's a city called Glendale. Have any of you heard of Rick Caruso? He's a local developer who has created a very famous outdoor shopping concept, and we invite you to go. It's called The Grove, but his newest product is Americana at Brand. Americana at Brand is in the city of Glendale, and this particular project is not like the original Grove. This has a residential component. And this is located in the city of Glendale on Brandon, Colorado. It opened in May of 2008, and it's owned by Mr. Caruso and his affiliated group. It's got 75 stores, 100 condominiums, and 238 apartments. As you can imagine opening up condominiums in 2008 is probably not the best. At one time, those condominiums were slated to go from $750,000 to upwards of $4 million. They took them off the market for a year to see if, in fact, the market would come back. It hasn't come back. Number of floors, it's effectively four levels above grade. So what were the problems that we experienced at Americana at Brand? Illegal track map recordings. Not something that's very nice. Illegal track maps. Ownership by the Caruso and the Glendale Redevelopment Agency crossed over. How does the city get a track map wrong? How does the city get their own parcel lines wrong? You did the agreements. Someone wasn't paying attention at City Hall. Someone wasn't paying attention at Caruso. We found that their parcels crossed each other, and that was very difficult for us to work with because smack center in Glendale's redevelopment is a park. So the park is the centerpiece of the Americana brand, where they have an incredible water feature and park for the kids to come and play. So surrounding it is, in fact, the shopping center, the apartments, the condominiums. We also have complexities with the airspace maps, the five levels of the airspace with varying boundaries on each and every level, where you have cutouts that are owned by the city. For the streets that we went into, for the sidewalks that we went into for the project, and not only that, but once again, that centerpiece was a property that was owned by the Glendale Redevelopment Agency, and the subsurface was leased to Caruso. on a long-term basis. So what did we do? We basically called up the title department, once again sat down with the city of Glendale, Mr. Caruso, Major Properties, we as the appraisers, and our mapping services department. Mapping services was in dialogue and said, you know what, let's go ahead and create an all-inclusive agreement in terms of spelling everything out that should have taken place and re-record the documents so that we can perfect what should have happened from the beginning. And that was done through an omnibus deed. So once again, that omnibus deed happened after the fact with the agreement that everybody understood what was taking place after the fact so that the boundaries could be changed appropriately. Separate parcels were created for the following. Once again, I wanted to mention the retail, the apartments, the condominiums, and the associated parking for each. Confusion? Absolutely. We were very confused. You can't see this, but it's in your handout. We wanted to just give you a brief idea of the various complexities. It's one of your last handouts that you have, so you can take a look at it at your leisure. We had parts that did not belong to this. I think you guys denoted it's not a part. So there's are not a part of. This is retail on the ground level with upper floor condominiums. This is upper floor apartments with ground floor retail with subsurface storage space with subsurface parking. We have the park right in the middle. And this park is looking like if it goes all the way over to Brand. Well, it is a park that's right in the middle and then stops for the sidewalk that's part of the Caruso agreement, and then the park picks up on a small little sliver right here. So the next map shows you, or showed us as the appraisers, because once again, when we go out and we appraise these things, we take our measuring stick, we actually now have a little laser beam that we can bounce off from one, denote that, and then take the laser beam to the next point of interest and denote that, and it gives us the measurement. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it's been very useful for us. If you can imagine going with the little measuring stick, you look a little antiquated, but it still works. And the measuring tape is still the best. It requires 2 to 3 appraisers, and we're out there together measuring from point A to point B to make sure that what we see, what you have denoted here, is in fact what we see out there and is in fact what we're going to value. Once again, the varying levels at this very project, and each and every level was different. Some parts owned by the city, some parts leased by the city, some parts leased to Caruso, some parts master leased to the stores and the theaters that are there. Next. So here is the map after we corrected it, and I think they did a nice little jog in terms of showing the correct parcels that should have been. Next. And here's what it looks like. It's an absolutely wonderful adult amusement park. It's good for the kids and it's good for the adults. If you have some spare time when you're visiting us, you might want to get over to the Grove as well as Americana. They do have restaurants, good shopping. If you're tired of where you live, maybe you'll even look at the condominiums that are now for lease. These are some of the apartment buildings, the ground floor retail. Here is part of the park, which has a water feature that every half hour gives off music. They recently had Gladys Knight and the Pips out at their performance stage, which they put right in front of the water feature. And they had Cirque du Soleil, I think, about a month ago. Once again, the apartments, which are on top of the ground floor retail. Each level, of course, as you can see, is different. Some of the balconies are recessed. And of course, below the balconies are the retail areas. The parking is in back. There's plenty of parking. During the weekday, it's free. And it's very expensive on the weekends, unless you get a validation. Here's the park, the water feature. Next. Inside view of the apartments, originally slated for $3 to $5 rent. They're currently about $2.50 to $3, so they lost quite a bit of share in terms of what the values are. You'll notice the amenities on the apartments, very nice. That looks like a hallway, if you ask me. Kind of small there, but 1,000 square feet was slated to go anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000, and we're getting 2,500 to 3,000. So when you were originally thinking of getting 5,000, now you're only getting 3,000, you've lost 2,000. And for us as appraisers, that's very, very important because it diminishes the project's valuation. Here's the pool, and you'll notice that you have a handicapped accessible ramp so that you can sit down here and you can be lowered into the water. That is now required by ADA, and that's kind of something new for us that we didn't realize that they were requiring on pools. This is the condominium. It looks a little nicer than the apartments. And all of this is what you would pay. 1,000 square feet was going for $750, so if you wanted to buy 1,000 square feet on the lower floor, it was $750,000 for that condominium unit. They've drastically cut their prices, and they're now about $550,000 to $600,000 for these condominiums. The inside amenities, this is the pool for the condominium units, and the concierge for the lobby. This is part of the retail area. That they have wonderful world-renowned restaurants, as you will see if you do get a chance to visit there. It's always crowded, weekday or weekend. It's become a major shopping destination for the city of Glendale. And what can I say? Working together works. If we had not been able to work with our family and mapping services, get the meeting of the mind to where we finally understood that, hey, there is a problem here with the way the deeds were recorded, and getting together with the developer, mapping services, the cities, the parties that are all involved, we would not have been able to perfect what should be. So we want to thank our mapping services department, inherently thanking you up and down the state, because we work together. Anybody here from San Francisco, the assessor's office? We're working heavily with them right now on a couple of shopping centers, because we trade information. A shopping center's valuation in San Francisco may be different unless you're around Union Square, and then Union Square we can compare to our better shopping districts here in Southern California. Down in San Diego, I think we've recently worked with your appraisers on Fashion Valley or Fashion Mall, and that's an important one because it's one of the lower valuations that we have that everybody seems to fight and use against us. So working together with the varying counties are absolutely wonderful. And that's it. Are there any questions? I think I've mesmerized you, and you're all ready for that cookie break, right? Okay. A question. Yeah. She's stopping you from cookies.
Maybe I'll discuss with you about the data. It's about how you store the isometric drawings in the building. Do you store them there?
Yes, all the isometrics, every information that we have in mapping is kept in our system. It all goes to our server. So the software itself is inherently 3D, there's not a problem in saving different views or drawings.
Yes. Anything else, or can we go get a cookie? I'll stick around for 2 minutes outside. Thanks again for inviting me.